We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. This is Cheryl from Dja-Dja-Wurrung country.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 186 of the Beyond 90 podcast. Eric Subihana here, along with Emma Burke and Del Roots. We've got Dub News, we've got Tilly's News, we've got International Football News. It's been one of those weeks where I've been looking at the pod notes and was like, was that less than 7 days ago? Oh, dear. Anyway, by the way, best wishes to Madge, who can't join us this week. But firstly, time to check in on my co-host. So firstly, you, Emma, you put the correct venue into your GPS and you were at Melbourne City versus Sydney at the correct time. So I'll start with you. How has your weekend been?
It was good. Honestly, I was actually running a little late for the game.
You thought you were late.
I thought I was, yeah. So when I got there, I was like, oh my God, I need to get in. I was like sweating. And then I saw they were doing their warm-ups and I was like, what's going on here? But then I got a free Zupa Dupa and I saw a sausage dog. So yeah, really successful outing all in all. Not for either of the teams, but for me personally, it was a success. And then Arsenal let me down again. Now we're here.
I just, one weekend, I'm going to be in a pod where Brisbane Roar win for Madge, Arsenal and Melbourne City win for you, and Everton and Canberra win, but not this week.
There's a lot of portions of the Venn diagram to have to come together.
Actually, now that I think about it, it sounds like an incredibly optimistic multi. But yeah. Yes, because I've mentioned your teams, Dale. It's been a weekend that Gennaro Gattuso would describe as sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit, but otherwise how things have been, Dale.
It was a great weekend for all but about 90 seconds, to be honest. Canberra snatching a draw from the jaws of victory on the weekend in Perth. I thought they really deserved the 3 points, but we'll get onto that later. And then, Everton just deciding to run up an absolute cricket score against Nottingham Forest in the FA Cup, which was lovely. Hopefully they can continue that form, you know, into the rest of the season.
Yes, and as for myself, I enjoyed Football New South Wales. I enjoyed the Football New South Wales season launch. We did one at Football New South Wales headquarters for all three of our men's comps and all two of our women's comps. Had a lovely chat with Ashley Crofts, former Wanderers and Canberra striker. And then I liked how people read my mind. My friend, who is an accredited photographer and a Blacktown City parent, basically took a photo of me and Ash without anyone even asking for it. But thanks so much to you, Angela. And also, getting ready for the NPL season, which starts on Friday, and then the next 7 months will be a blur for me. But that's what I signed up for. Anyway, on to today's feature, Matilda. And it's not a Queenslander, but she still moved interstate to play for Melbourne City and Melbourne Victory. It's cap 186, Emma Checker, Matilda's debut in 2012. 8 caps all up. She is very much a defender and a very good one as well. I've put the link to a LinkedIn page in the show notes just because it's a little bit interesting. Outside of football, and by the way, she is a friend of the pod, a former guest. She's just started with as a commercial graduate at Major Road Projects Victoria. She has a business degree. Just like good to see a fellow business grad. And yeah, there's so much in there. Work with the PFA, like a lot of tertiary qualifications. And yeah, she's really doing a lot on and off the field. But of course, because she's played for City and Victory, I think we should start with you, Emma, in terms of just how you view Emma Checo.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Emma Checo, even back when she was with Adelaide United. But definitely came more into my sights when she was with City. I think she did an excellent job stepping up as City captain a couple of years back. Actually spoke to her right before COVID broke out. Like it was that last kind of weekend. And I went to see City play in I think it might have been the last round of the season, and spoke to her after the game, and she was like, "Oh, are you going to the next the semi-final or whatever?" And I was like, "Oh no, I can't make it." And she was like, "Oh, I'll see you at the grand final." And then everyone was locked inside for 2 years.
Yeah.
So, did not see her at the grand final, but they did win. So.
Oh well, I mean.
Yeah. Literally, you win some, you lose some.
They did.
City won. I lost my freedom. But no, I've always been a big fan of Cheka. I think she's, yeah, a very solid presence in defense. It's a shame that City lost her this season, but understandable that she'd want to kind of go back to victory, because that's kind of where she was first in this state. So.
Yeah, I mean, she's, for me, she's always, she's been a very, very solid dub player, and she's just unfortunately never kind of really, through lack of trying, kind of made the step up into international football. And now, I mean, you look at the way that Claire Hunt's kind of grabbed her opportunity with both hands. We've really got three quality central defenders at the moment who are in, you know, pretty decent form, and have kind of made a name for themselves as a triumvirate. But yeah, she's always, I know that whenever she's put on the Matildas jersey, she's done the job. She's never had a poor Matildas showing, in my humble opinion. She's never been a player that I look at when we've lost a game or whatever, and we've gone, oh, well, you know, she's to blame for a couple of those goals. It's just that I think through lack of opportunity, purely through players being ahead of her in the pecking order. I mean, if we were to go one or two players down between now and the Olympics, she'd probably get a spot. But yeah, there's no reason that she wouldn't be on performance of the line. It's just, unfortunately, she's one of those players like the midfielders that we talked about over the last few months that hasn't really had the opportunity just through talent above her, unfortunately.
Yeah, and and yet another example of the nomadic life of a women's football player. Of course, I'd completely forgotten that she'd played for your team, Canberra, as well. So I am getting on a bit, but yeah, in addition to her hometown team, Adelaide, there's also stints in, was it South Korea, France, Iceland, and Sweden. Yeah, that's right. I do remember being a star of our Nordic reps. So yeah,
she plays for Incheon Hyundai Steel Red Angels. One of
well
the
done
great
for getting that whole name in.
One of the great football team names.
Yes.
They're with our Taichung Blue Whale.
Yeah, and of course, I kind of shocked, but also not shocked to hear that she's only 27. Lots of football ahead of her. And yeah, currently doing a great job with Melbourne Victory. So yeah, I mean, who knows? She might add to that tally of 8 caps. Now, yes, part of the packed 7 days we've had. This now feels a lot more than 7 days ago, but it was not. The latest Matildas squad. And straight to the big news, Michelle Heyman and Chloe Logarza are back in the national team squad. And a first Matildas call-up for Caitlin Torpy. Big fist pump from Emma. So I've embedded, I'm sure you've already seen it, but you wanted to see it again. Harper Gorry renaming all the people in the squad. And of course, my personal favorite, Corky!
Corky. I love
it's
Corky.
It's so good. But Michelle Heyman, we could see her once again in green and gold. And it's just, I suppose we have to briefly address some of the silliness we saw online. Although I did love Kieran Yap's response to one person in particular. And he has gotten so petty, and he's going to keep doing it as often. And I think I might join him, to be honest. I won't name this person, but I have a great pettiness and fueled memory, so I do actually remember the name of them. And
you are warmed by the fire of pettiness.
Yes,
you are
yes,
like
yes.
The nuclear reactor that runs on yeah, runs on enriched pettiness.
thank you so much. Let's try and raise the moral tone of this. Michelle Heyman and Chloe Legazzo.
Yay.
Someone go, please.
Yeah, wild.
I just want to say I called it for Heyman. I did say a few weeks ago, with all of the scoring that she did, is she a look in? She was, and she's in.
Yeah, that's all I remember that. And I have to say, I think that there have been a few people that have been calling for this for a couple of seasons now.
I mean, yeah, but it was like at this point, it was really undeniable.
Yeah,
like
I was checking out their FB ref page, and I was like, wow, look at all those double figure goal scoring seasons. time to do something with that.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of thinking about this, and we'll get on to Torpy in a second, but part of me wouldn't be surprised if Heyman starts against Uzbekistan. Kind of strike while the iron's hot. They're going to play, I feel like they'll play a really deep defensive line, and she tends to do really well, both back to goal, dropping deep to get the ball, playing, like being able to play out on the wing. You know, she can play as that hold up number nine or a player off the shoulder. I think that obviously she doesn't have the pace or the kind of name that Sam Kerr has. But like, I mean, it's wild that she's got what, 60 caps, and like this is her opportunity to kind of make a name for herself. Seems really petty, but like, I think that you kind of have to acknowledge that like the Matildas are such a different beast, kind of publicity wise, than they were when she was going around. But yeah, to make a name for herself as like, you know, one of the all time dub greats, to have this stint of seasons and then kind of make your way back into the Matildas team and then hopefully go and do something with it. Yeah, I think I wouldn't have any problem with it if they started her as part of a front three.
I mean, short turnaround. I mean, start doesn't mean you have to play 90 minutes. I mean, a good 60 would do the job, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a good shout, getting her to start, especially considering like what other forwards do we have? Caitlin Ford, who's currently being run into the ground
by
Arsenal. Who else is there? Torpy's a midfielder mostly, but I mean, she can't score goals. Fine. Corky, good old Corky.
I mean, you can play Caitlin Ford up front. You could play I mean, could you play Amy Sayer up front? It's been done. She played there previously.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they've tried that one. But no, I think that'd be a good shout. And I think the call-up of Heyman and Legazo and Torpy is definitely a good thing, because I remember speaking to Tony, or hearing from Tony before when the squad was announced. And Uzbekistan have been in like a month-long training camp. So they are prepared and they are preparing. So if we have the opportunity to throw something a little bit different at them that maybe they haven't been expecting or preparing for, it's only going to be a good thing for us. So,
I mean, the downside of that is because Heyman's been playing in the dub, they do have access to that because it's not geo-blocked. So...
tragic.
They will have had plenty of tape to work on. Not saying that you could access these games also using something that could turn off a geo block, but look, Your Honor, I have nothing else to add. In terms of Torpy, I think that like her time's come. She's. You look at all those players that, I mean, she was doing relatively well recently with her previous club, and then it feels like the kind of Charlie Grant, Courtney Nevin, Cooney Cross, like she's like that's the next evolution of her game, is to now go overseas and now make a debut and hopefully get a run in these qualifiers. I don't have anything. I don't have anything negative to say about this squad, which is kind of wild.
I mean, we do love a bit of negativity on this pod, but I'm feeling good as well. And thinking of Caitlin Torpy, like historically, of course, Australian women's footballers have started the national team so young. She's 23, turns 24 next month, and that's actually let's get it more to that kind of range instead of chucking people in when they're 16 and then declaring and then raising alarm bells when they're 19 and aren't at the senior squad yet, because that's
take a 16-year-old to a major international tournament and then don't play her
You mean thus leaving her also eligible for another country?
Eligible for two other countries. Let's not do that.
Would not recommend.
Also, Jada Wyman, the vibes manager of the team as the third goalkeeper.
Oh, okay. I mean, yes.
Absolute Pepe Reina Spain areas here.
Are they good in the dressing room?
That's all you got to care about.
Does everyone like the tunes that they play?
Yeah, I think that's where we're at in terms of our third goalkeeper. Disappointed to see Lids out. I think this is the first time that there hasn't been a Canberra junior in the squad for possibly since she did her ACL.
Ooh.
Oh my God.
So
it's all right.
Yeah,
it's all right. Chloe Lincoln or Sally James will be in there soon enough for you.
Well, and Michelle Hayman's there, so I mean, she's one of us at this point.
Despite being playing junior football somewhere else, but you're right, that counts. Also, more serious point with Torpy, it's been hard for us to keep track of that Australia under-23 team with them basically meeting in Europe, but she has been part of that, and that's why that was set up to, you know, bridge the gap between young Matildas, even I get confused between junior and young Matildas sometimes. Yeah, between the under-20 team and the senior team. That's what it's there for. And, yeah, hopefully more of those players start filtering in to our national team.
Also, may I just say, on your confusion, not helped by the fact that the Football Ferns...
Oh, dude, the other way around.
Use the inverse reference to young and junior.
Yeah,
come on, New Zealand.
Just to clarify... In Australia, young is under 20, junior is under 17. Junior is under 20 and young is under 17. No.
Doesn't make any sense. Come on. No,
that's not helpful at all. No. More Tilly's adjacent news. And thanks to Google Alerts King Alex Lucas for finding this. Katrina Ann Harper-Gorry will feature on ABC's Australian Story. That'll be broadcast Monday, February 19th. So yeah, you get more wholesome Harper-Gorry content. And just briefly, a link in the show notes, of course, there's another national team, the Parramatildas. They had, I think last week, they've just finished their training camp at the AIS, where, of course, they're building towards this year's World Cup in Spain and trying to go one better than 2 years ago when they got the silver medal. Basically, we want to knock the Yanks off their perch, something the whole country can get behind. Now, round 16 results, and there was a lot going on despite the fact that we had one less game because Wellington versus Adelaide has been postponed to next month due to Wellington's Football Ferns commitments. But this game, despite having no goals, had all the headlines. There's no point hiding it. Let's start with Melbourne City 0, Sydney FC 0, and delayed by half an hour because the Sydney team bus went to the wrong venue. It went to a venue that Melbourne City haven't used in 4 years. And when they did get there, Sydney with many shots and not much end product. And you, Emma, summed it up brilliantly in an article you wrote for Impetus. The visitors continued to take shot after shot, but clearly had either left their scoring boots at home or at the first venue they went to, as they could not find a way to the back of the net. That's that's award-winning. I love it.
Thank you. They just, I don't know, I sat there and I watched them take shot after shot, and I truly don't know how City got away with it. Obviously, I do, actually. It was Melissa Barbieri.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, they just could not score. I also think Naomi Thomas-Chinema had a fantastic game, especially considering she was stuck dealing with Courtney Vine. The game was interesting. The delay, I couldn't work out. Couldn't work it out until a while in, when I ended up asking a Melbourne City staff member, what happened? Why was it delayed? Because it wasn't that hot. I was like, there's no way it's delayed for the heat. And they were like, oh,
yeah,
Sydney went to the wrong venue. And I was like, excuse me? what do you mean? Where did they go? But I found out later, that they'd managed to go to Bundoora despite, yeah, it not being a city venue for the last 4 years, and yeah, the fact that they had two ex-city players.
We'll get onto
on
that
bus.
We've got a special segment for that. Don't you worry.
Very interesting. But massive game from Melissa Barbieri, legend, icon of the game. Her second game for the season, and she saves a penalty to keep City with the doors shut, basically. Very funny at the end of the game when, like, after the final whistle had blown, she pulled everyone in because she'd spent the majority of the season as an assistant coach and a player. And now she's actually a player, but she's still an assistant coach.
Yes.
Because she was leading the team huddle and going a little bit off at them. Deserved. She was nice about it, but deserved. City were missing quite a few starters because there's the New Zealand, the Kiwi players are off. Grosso's out injured. So really, Sydney should have put this one to bed and then some.
Just been a fair old amount of that for Sydney this season.
So many draws.
Bubs, legend, icon. What else can you say? She's backed it up time after time.
I mean, as you say, they had like a front three of Galic, Polisano, and Ekic. Which, you know, is a combination of names that would give most Liverpool voters a heart attack. But didn't manage a shot on target for the whole game, which is for a team that plays had 60-40 possession for the match. They just couldn't craft anything. And, like, I think Sydney's defence have been very good all season. But, you have to score a goal to win the game. Bubs saved that penalty. And, yes. I think there's a few questions around Abeni's penalty taking at this point. I know that she's the captain, but I think it might be time to hand on the baton.
I think a lot of City's sort of issue was through midfield because they did bring back in Leah Davidson for her first start in like many months' time. So she was kind of shaking off the cobwebs. And with Torpy gone now, they've put Tiana McKenna in at their right back, and she's actually traditionally a midfielder. So I know she's played right back before for the young Matildas, I want to say. So she can do it, but it's definitely not her preferred position. So it was also a bit of a struggle there. Onwards and upwards, hopefully for, I was going to say both of them, but that would be betraying my Victorian roots. So onwards and upwards for City. Good luck to Sydney. Not really. it was an interesting watch. It was very hot as well. No shade.
Yeah, sales. I heard that it's been stinking hot down there these last few days, so grim. Yeah, so
don't recommend
my thoughts go out to all of you.
Thank Not you really. So much. Oh.
Yeah, I don't have much else to take away from it.
Yeah, because of the result, we'll get on to Melbourne City's lead at the top, now down to 1 point. And Sydney FC 3 points off Melbourne City in third place. So that's the top of the table is compressing nicely with 6 or 7 games to go, depending on who your team is. Now, we did have the nice novelty of a Friday night game at Carrington Park in Bathurst. And so that ended up as Western Sydney Wanderers 2, Newcastle 1. So firstly, shout out to this pod's favorite groundhopper, Megan, who was there as always. And great crowd, firstly. 3,873, which is just wonderful. Probably a Wanderers women's standalone record, I suspect.
I think that they have a derby record that's slightly higher than that, but that's considering it was a Friday night in a country town of really 20,000, 30,000 people, that's a pretty good turnout.
Long way away from both fan bases as well.
Yeah.
If you have a particular social media set of followers, you would have seen all your faves there at that game. But lots of kids and atmosphere. Also, it did sync up with the Proctor Cup, the long-running Girls SAP tournament that's held in Bathurst. I'd like to pretty sure that timing was not coincidental. And the Wanderers apparently been doing coaching clinics in the community with good turnouts there too. Weather-wise, I think a very common summer experience. It's a bit warm at the start, but once it cooled down, I think for the second half, it was lovely. And it
Bathurst like the
photos I saw looked brilliant, especially with the hill and everything, like a proper, like really what you want from a country town sporting experience. And great chips as well, apparently. So that's very important. And also,
good to see a bit of culinary diversity out there.
That's right. I mean, I like the diversity in food, but come on, it's like when chips are good, everyone's happy. The game. Jets coming up with the you didn't want her in terms of both assist and goal for the opener. Serena Bolden laying it off for Libby Copus Brown, but Sophie Harding can't be denied. Oh, that's another player scoring against her former club. So it there was that, and then you know the Wanderers. I think they're now actually at the state where they kind of they're playing well enough for little bits of luck to go their own way. In terms of what ended up being the winner is a save, and it just falls to Vicky Bruce to score again. And she's actually come up with a neat knack of scoring as a defender from set pieces. Pretty even, I think. Yeah, the Jets will feel
some of the worst set piece defending I've ever seen in my life. Just...
yes, that is a very good point. But I'm trying to be positive, and then Dale just bringing me back down to his level, which is really the level where I belong. But anyway, also, of course, a bit unlucky for the Jets with, I heard actually heard from a friend, because Claudia Chico, they said she was out with illness. Yeah, that illness was COVID. So apparently that got her Tash Pryor and Sophie Hoban, which is rough. So, it's one of those things. But so I think, Claudia's going to get back to full fitness soon, because I think she came off the bench from memory. But yeah, she's actually had a very good season as the Jets right back. I think also thinking of the Sophie Harding goal, it's one of those things. Zoe Karapetis, with a bit more experience, barges Harding out of the way before she gets that and takes the risk of a card. But no, that's why you play young defenders, to help them get this experience. Pretty even game all up, but I thought it's like just about shading it to the Wanderers for me, and another 3 points, and they are fourth. Yes, this is not a drill. The Wanderers are fourth with a game in hand. Okay.
And without Denise O'Sullivan.
With it, I didn't know this was possible, but hey.
It's the dub. It's anything the dub. Can happen.
Yes.
And so, it does.
Will you tell me, Preport Emma, you also had thoughts on this game?
Yeah, no. Basically, the only real thought I've had is post-Olympics, Sophie Harding has to be called up for the Matildas. I'm sorry. In my opinion.
Think, yeah. Yes.
In my humble opinion.
Good shout.
She's got to be up there.
Very bad day for me and my months of saying that Sophie Harding is just fast and not good at football.
Ah, yes.
We'll see. We'll see.
Chalk that up as another one of my unfortunately failed hot takes.
Look, sometimes the takes are hot and they stay hot, and sometimes they're hot and then they
cool right down. Freezing cold takes.
Oh yeah, like outer space, temperature cold.
Yes. Is it?
It happens to the best of us.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Not me though, because I'm not the best of us.
That also potentially bad time to be an employee of a club that let Sophie Harding go to another NPL club.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. It's like, oh, well. Yeah. But
lessons
like,
learned all around, I'd say.
When the fast person keeps kicking it into the goal, yeah, probably should think about selecting them. And also,
the fast person fast.
Also, back to the point I also made about Caitlin Torpy. She suddenly figured it out in her mid-20s, and to the benefit of the Wanderers, maybe the national team in the future. And yes, there's the lesson. They don't have to have figured it out by the time they're 20. That's a silly attitude. What else have we got? Yeah, Mariners won, Victory won. That was, I mean, it felt like a draw. It just felt like it was always going to be a draw, even though Victory needed an Emily Gilnick banger to end up getting a share of the points in Gosford. But yeah, it's just Victory. Yeah, they've tended to figure it out, especially in this post-COVID dub era. But I feel a bit less confident about this than in previous seasons. And you know, I mean, for Central Coast, I mean, 1 point off finals with six games to go, they'd have absolutely taken that at the start of the season. So yeah, but I did see some comment on there that possibly
100%.
The gap between Victory's defense and midfield, possibly something that needs sorting out. But still got six games to figure that out.
There's something about Victory that's kind of like, it's giving the aura of the wheels are falling off, but the wheels are on.
Yep.
Mm.
Like it's like they're gaslighting us.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Is it like their own version of rope-a-dope? It's like, we might miss finals. Then bang, we're the champions again.
Who knows?
I mean,
who knows?
The game against Sydney kind of gave me the same vibe. Very, we don't really know what we're doing. They're like a mule with a spinning wheel. I've always said it. It's like a dog driving a car. Like the car's not driving off the road just yet, but the dog really doesn't know what any of these controls do, or how to make it stop. So, I felt that way against them, watching them against Sydney, and I was just, there's just something missing, but I don't quite know what it is. Like they're definitely in need of a striker, but even the service to the top, to the front line has been poor, but not so poor as to not give them opportunities to score. I just feel like they're kind of relying on tidbits of brilliance among what has been, you know, so far pretty so-so. I wouldn't say mediocre, but definitely not fantastic. They are. I'm just having a look at the table now. They're 6-5-5. So like there's that glut of them, Perth 6-5-5, and then Central Coast are 6-4-6. So like they're the perfect examples of mid-table mediocrity. But like none of those three teams you'd look at and go, oh, they're not playing good football, or they don't know what they're doing. It's just there's a few loose connections in that Melbourne team, and I don't have the answer of how they're gonna kind of piece it all together.
Yep. And there are those three you just mentioned, Dale, just ahead of the Boom or Bust twins, Newcastle and Wellington Phoenix, 6 wins and 8 losses, and 3 draws between the two of them. So this stuff is why coaches like go grey.
As you say, it's like the coach, if there's, you know, Wellington and Newcastle are perfect examples. Like they can't keep a lead, or they have to score a late banger to win a game. It's just there is no in between for those. And then you have Sydney, who are like, what if we shared all the points? That would be lovely. What if we were all friends?
Yes, maybe Sydney have heard that people from other cities don't like them, and they want to change that. They're just like, they want to become the giving club.
I don't think it's working.
No. People's club. The people are the other people's club.
Okay. Now, I'm going to need Dale's help on this one, because Saturday's version of Dub After Dark in terms of my level of concentration was a bit tricky, but nevertheless, the 10:30 PM East Coast kickoff ended up with Perth Glory 2, Canberra United 2, and more Michelle Heyman heroics. Another couple of goals to add to that ever-growing tally. But as you alluded to earlier, Dale, they were almost there for the three valuable points, and then Izzy Dalton takes it away from them.
I mean, yeah, like the first half was fantastic, like really good football too, Michelle Heyman goals just after kickoff, and then 10 minutes into the game, and then just before halftime, Susan Fonsoncamp scored a pretty good goal in kind of halfway between those two. And then they just kind of like fiddled around for 45 minutes in the second half. And then like the goal that Dalton scored was like the director didn't even have the camera on, like that, like the live shot on, because it was that well taken. It came straight in off a throw in, and they thought that they'd be kind of passing around the box, and she just hit it top corner. Not much you can do. But yeah, I was really impressed with both teams. This was kind of it felt like this is a game that Canberra should have won, as I said. But full credit to Alex Apakos for kind of not necessarily for parking the bus, but for answering every question that Canberra posed across the 90 minutes. I must say, I was once again impressed with Sasha Grove. She is. I don't like that she plays at fullback. I would much prefer her being a defensive midfielder or a number eight, but I know why she's being played there. She gets up and down. She works her socks off. She's got a really good head on her shoulders in terms of being able to read the game along the sideline, but also being able to kind of nip in and fill in at centre back when needed. But I think that moving forward, she'll definitely be one to play in that eight. Just her passing game, her vision is fantastic. I can't really say enough about her. Other than that, I was quite impressed as well with Hannah Lowry. I watched her last week against Sydney, and she was kind of bossed off the ball a little bit by Sydney's midfield. But then, you know, again, as I said, she's come on in leaps and bounds in this season. She's definitely matured as a player, and I've been very happy to see that she's been hitting the weights room, because she's not getting bundled off the ball as often as she was in seasons past. But I guess that's what happens as you kind of grow up and grow into an adult and grow into your body a little bit more. But yeah, I was really impressed with her. And Quinley Cazada as well. She had a great game until she came off. I was impressed with the Filipino as well. It was a good game to watch. It was an unfortunate game that it was on at midnight.
Oh yeah, that's
but,
right.
But me and the degenerates who were watching it at going to bed at 1 o'clock to watch the dub, I was enriched for it. It was very frustrating to like finish that game and then go to bed and then just kind of, you know, Homer under the doonut with the angry eyes was me after we just lost 3 points. But yeah, no, it was a great game. I'm very glad that I stayed up and watched it. My dog was very happy that I stayed up and watched it with him. He was providing a lot of
Shout out to Bob.
He was providing a lot of vibe-based emotion, basically just putting his head on me and asking for attention.
Yes.
But yeah, no, great game.
Yeah. And also, any New Zealand resident who watched the entirety of Perth Canberra live deserves a medal.
Seek help.
and that as well. But just, yeah. I'm thinking, that was a 10:30 p.m. kick off our time zone. I'm going to a WS... their watch party on the weekend where that game starts at 11:30 p.m. our time.
I was just thinking that kickoff for New Zealand is the same as God, that's like a Premier League kickoff for us. Because that's a
correct.
That would have been at 1:30 a.m. there, yeah. Which is basically a Premier League mid afternoon Premier League kickoff.
Which is
for
what
Australian
they have to
viewers.
Look forward to obviously when Wellington go there.
Oof. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So it's on to, well, that's a problem for later, but I imagine there'll be quite a few tweets on the timeline when Wellington play away in Perth and like people, Phoenix fans propping their eyes up with matchsticks or whatever
they
need to do. Lots of cups of coffee.
Now, I was going to say, Wellington asking to have that game move to like 11 a.m. Perth time.
Local time. To avoid the heat, that's what they're going to say.
Yeah. Oh, we're still, I mean, yeah, it's too hot. We should play this game at 9 a.m.
Yes. Remember how much fun you had in under eights? Let's recreate that with the kickoff time.
You have to turn up early and put the goals and the corner flags up.
Yeah.
And make sure that the tuck shop is working.
Pie one more game
on,
in this round to get to.
Barbecue on.
One more game to cover. And also, in case you're wondering about the duality of WOSO fans, where it's either WESO back or it's over. Western United 3, Brisbane Roar 2 perfectly encapsulated that. Both teams had the lead at points, and Western United stealing it at the end with, absolute chaos. Chloe, basically, Carly Johnson hitting the crossbar firstly from about the parking lot, and then one of the Torrentos, I'm sorry, I can't remember which one, won a penalty, which Chloe Lagazzo slotted away. After that, a combination before that, a combination of excellent TJ Vlahovic corners and some suboptimal Brisbane set piece defending the course for other Western United goals. But yeah, just thoughts with Madge, because that she's had a bit of that in the recent seasons. Just Brisbane so close to getting points away from home against a very good team, but Chloe Legazzo showing the form that put her back in the Matilda squad. That she ended up being the match winner. I don't know. Do you have anything else to add for that game, Emma?
I only really got to follow that one via live tweets because I was at work.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that penalty taken by Legazzo, killer. Hmm. Absolutely killer. Also, not surprised that you couldn't work out which Taranto it was, because not only are they identical, they wear the numbers 15 and 16.
Oh, that's well. That they need to bring a rule into that for next season. You get one single digit number, one double digit number.
Someone needs to stop this. Yeah, I'm sorry, that is absurd.
Can you imagine if Cat Smith gets released, shall we say, by her team 10 days before the start of the season, finds a new team, finishes ahead of said old team in the table, and then wins the premiership? Well, every chance of that happening with 6 games to go, as Dale's connection is continuing to have issues. But let's crack on. By the way, while he's away, shout out to Dale. Ah, yes, the after the Morgan Aquino injury, his tweet. Of course, we had two Canberrans. Sally James coming on to replace Morgan Aquino in the glory goal, which meant Sally James and Chloe Lincoln were on the field at the same time. And as Dale comes back, yeah, it was two, Sally James and Chloe Lincoln, two players with obviously linked histories and thought of in much the same way, two very good goalkeepers. So nice to see them on the field at the same time. Or as Dale put it, at last we meet in battle. Yes.
Yes. They were, it was the same as you were saying, it was the same as the Tarantos. But they were, one was good and one was evil.
Oh, in your dear opinion.
Yes, that's right. Dale gets very cold when players leave Canberra United. I have learned this. Now, just briefly, if we could, I don't know, if we pick one round 17 fixture that catches the eye, I don't know. Let's see what stands out for people. I don't know. Emma, what's then? Anything in particular from next weekend stand out for you?
I mean, the last time I said I was looking forward to seeing a City game, they did end up getting smacked. So I'm not going to say that again. but no, otherwise, I feel like Canberra-Sydney has potential.
It does. It's
something in there is gonna let them cook is what I'm gonna say for that one, and I look forward to seeing the results.
Is that it's Canberra playing, so no clean sheets for anyone. Yeah, that's interesting. Oh my god, Sunday dub after dark. That Perth versus Mariners. So rest in peace to all the Mariners fans trying to watch that one, but. Yeah, just obviously that's in the show notes as always.
Completely correct. I've got Western. I've got a Western Wellington. The lost our jerseys derby.
Oh yes,
should be a banger. But I'm actually looking forward to Victory Wanderers. I think that's going to be a spank game. And tipping Wanderers for the upset. Well, I don't know whether it'd be an upset at this point.
Well, it's not an upset according to the table.
No.
I think, I mean, trying not to sound mean, the Wanderers aren't trying to play the most. They have a simple game plan, but everyone understands said game plan, and that often is the way to success. They're not trying to do more than what their players are capable of at this stage. Obviously, if you have a long-term plan, then they can, develop the football over the next coming seasons. They're really efficient, and they've also got a striker, an incredibly fast striker, can't stop scoring. So generally speaking, a recipe for success. Just briefly, because they have dub players, we've got Oceania Football Confederation Olympic qualifiers results in the show notes. Obviously, New Zealand expected to be clear favourites to get Oceania's one Olympic Games spot, and they've had 3-0 and 6-0 wins over Tonga and Samoa, respectively. Oh, and just a little bit of a history lesson for the new Dub fans. Australia used to be in this confederation. This used to be us playing against Fiji and American Samoa and the like. So I think now New Zealand get to be what we used to be in that confederation. Now, onto the news. It's trying to keep this, manage the time as best we can. We'll just kind of skim over this stuff. But I did notice an article I wanted to bring to people's attention in the show notes. So one of the Parramatildas, Ray Anderson, and Wanderers keeper Sham Kalmus were interviewed for an ABC article about body image in women's sports. Obviously, this is kind of not really my area of expertise. What I have read in the past is it, along with another bunch of interlinked issues, it's kind of the reason women's participation is actually pretty good up until the young girls start high school, and then it just drops off a cliff by the end of high school. And that there's a number of other reasons there. And just, yeah, it's, I encourage people to read that. Also, at non-football is also included in that article as well. But just, yeah, it's kind of hard as volunteers to cover this issue correctly, because it's like the ACL issue. It has so many factors, but yeah, it's just awareness is the first step. Also, something I think we're possibly a little bit more familiar with, Pride Round is back March 8 to 10 in Australia and March 30 in New Zealand. Firstly, more good advice from Emma. Feel free to use the replies and comments as a mute/block list. Thumbs up from Emma Burke there. But I don't know what other thoughts people have, but if there's a lot of Pride kits, then I will not have a lot of money at the end of March. Oh, well, but I'll be happy. Let's see, of course, Caitlin Torby to San Diego Wave. I think that we've already mentioned that. Thanks to Stefan for shouting out new Capital Football CEO, Samantha Farrow. Of course, there was a lot of consternation in Dell's neck of the woods after the ending of Canberra United Academy. And among other things, there's a new CEO. What else is there? Oh, reports of a blue card being introduced for players who commit cynical fouls or show dissent. My understanding, it's basically a yellow card plus a 10-minute sin bin. FIFA media said reports are premature and any trial should be limited to testing in a responsible manner at lower levels. So we shouldn't be seeing this in the WSL or the Dub anytime soon. But, you know what the news cycle is like. And
we have a 10-minute sin bin at local level and it works pretty well. But there's a big difference between... It's usually for swearing at refs, but like there's a big difference between that and applying something like that at a professional level.
Yeah, I feel like if anything in like a professional sort of setting, especially in like a very high stakes game, I feel like 10 minutes is quite long.
It's a long time.
Like in a sort of like a local or community level, 10 minutes is, I guess, no. Like I mean, I can understand it if you
among other things, the ball will be able to play
cool their head.
Yeah.
But in like a high stakes professional game, like can you imagine it's like a gold medal match or like the World Cup final and you're sent off for 10 minutes? I'd lose my mind.
Yeah.
I'd come back on and then get sent straight back off.
Ange Postecoglou did speak about this in a press conference after the Spurs game this week. I think it was after the Spurs game. And he said, yeah, basically the same thing. He's like, you know, like 10 minutes is like, it's life or death. It's these blokes' livelihoods. And like, if you get cautioned, it's completely different. I mean, it's a completely different set. I can't remember who else was talking about it, but they're saying like there's a 7 to 10 point swing in rugby when there's a 10-minute sin bin. But that's like you can score points through various means, whereas in football you can only score by putting the ball in the net, and we're the only sport that has that such a premium on points. Where there is such a premium of points. So, like, one goal can decide a game, obviously. So
that being... And I don't think anyone will get to watch Katie McCabe play again.
No, I think that might be the end of Katie McCabe.
No blue cards, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, that would be that. Well, now I'm against it for that reason and that reason alone. No, please protect my captain. But anyway, it was a... you'd imagine that's not going to be going into the highest level was the game straight away. Also, lovely tweet from friend of Beyond 90, Marissa Lordanik. Have we considered that maybe rules and refs aren't the issue in football, but instead an increasingly hyperbolic viewing public who don't know how to regulate their emotions when it comes to real or perceived slights on their team? Now I feel very guilty. Let's move on. Hyperbolic? Me? Surely not.
Never. That's not you at all.
Also, weird stuff that I don't know, Dale, you've got a little bit more insight on this, but the USL has become the USA's second top tier women's league. What?
Yeah. How? So, USL is USL is a funny old one. So there used to be three leagues in. There used to be three leagues in the US and Canada. So they used to have MLS, which is obviously their top tier in terms of men's football. And then they used to have the NASL, and they used to have, which was kind of a rebirth of the league that they had in the 70s and the 80s. And then they had the USL, which was a bunch of new teams that are all kind of based in regional cities. They're not based in big cities. USL then basically absorbed the NASL clubs, and they put together a pyramid where, sort of like baseball, where you have like a championship and then you have like triple A, double A, single A, like smaller and smaller teams going down the pyramid. I think one, two, and I think they have three tiers. And now USL has started a women's super league called USL Super League, which is kind of silly because it's United Soccer League's Super League, whatever. And they now have Div 1 accreditation from US Soccer Federation, which I think means that they get similar rights when it comes to players, comes to national team players, and it also means they get voting rights on the USSF board, or like at the USSF AGM or something like that. But it's a bit weird. They're looking at, I think, 17 teams in the first 3 years. They're based in similar locations to where teams are based now. So there's a team based in Brooklyn. There's a team that's going to be based in LA, I believe. There'll be a team based in Vancouver. So all over the kind of gamut of the US. And I think there's going to be, as I said, I think Toronto and Vancouver will have teams. But yeah, it's a super weird one, especially with, like, the NWSL has had kind of hit this plateau where they are still losing players to European leagues, but not every player that comes out of the NCAA is going to be good enough to make it professionally. So I think that this is what the USL will aim to fix, but it's just, yeah, it's super complicated. The way that I would explain it is like how in all NPL leagues in Australia are meant to be the same level, but they're in the second tier, so it's kind of it's a bit weird.
It's
super strange.
It's giving folds within 3 years and gets like amalgamated into the NWSL.
Which I think, like, if you think about it, that wouldn't be the worst thing that would happen. Obviously you would have a lot of people lose a lot of money, but they're generally speaking rich people, so whatever. But that's how a lot of MLS teams, which have now become quite successful, if you look at teams like Seattle, Portland, Atlanta, Cincinnati, a whole bunch of teams, St. Louis, I believe, were all USL or NASL teams before they joined MLS. And I think that that is something that could be good if this was to fall over, similar to like the ABA in the 70s with the NBA teams.
That was my old man thoughts. Emma, do you know what we're talking about?
Two basketball teams. There were two basketball leagues, and then they amalgamated, and only some of them survived. That's effectively what could happen.
So the NBA basically ate up the bits of the ABA that they wanted to become a bigger league.
And then they had one team that got said, we want 10% of all revenue for the They made a deal where they said, we want 10% of all TV revenue for the four teams that get admitted into the NBA in perpetuity. And they ended up making like $4 billion on TV rights.
In play because they weren't admitted to
because they weren't admitted
NBA.
To the,
and
they weren't admitted to the NBA.
They're the real winners.
Yeah.
No, good for them.
Good for them.
Good for them.
Keep your six, keep your 17 championships, Boston Celtics or whatever they have. They're, yes.
Yeah. Completely agree.
Derailed again.
That's the real way to become billionaires. Is just start a sporting team and then stick it to the man. Anyway, I feel like we've gone a long way off topic.
Yeah. Also, with that much money, if you make that much money, you now become the man. So, and anyway.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. Okay.
How well, the turntables.
At least we had a bit of a giggle. I'm going to acknowledge in the pod notes, but once again, women's sport being disrespected. Apparently, reports that the Swiss federal government will cut funding for Euro 2025 from 15 million francs to 4. Thanks for nothing, Swiss federal government, if it proves to be true. And of course, this is after they spent 82 million francs on the men's Euros in 2008. Blur. Mm. So that was a tweet there. Also a tweet which contains an article written in German. So I'm expecting that to not be useful to anyone else.
But obviously, I will say though that 4 million Swiss francs is the equivalent to about 100 million Australian dollars.
Ah,
so.
Well, that is a reasonable point. Although,
I mean, yes, but then what is 82 million francs the equivalent of?
That's a very good point.
It could, yeah.
Also, how are they going to be allowed to do that? Have they not like shown
budgets
the money,
to, yeah.
like budgets and stuff to
this is, I'm told this is part of bid documents. I'm sure like, Anne Oudong had to do something similar for 2023 World Cup.
Anne Oudong was going through the census. Like, yeah. That was crazy amount of work that had to go into that. So I don't know what the Swiss think they're doing.
Mm. I'm off them.
Don't know how they're going to do it.
Yeah. Well. And then I did like seeing the tweets. People spitefully saying, well, then I'm just going to stay in either France, Italy, or Germany and ride the train in for games, which is an idea first floated on this podcast. So, yeah.
It's the only way to do it. I mean, unless you want to spend $100 million of your own.
Mm. Yeah. They do have 5 franc coins. That is my takeaway. And very pretty money.
Yes. And
a lot of which you would need to stay there.
I feel like I wouldn't be taking any of that pretty money back to Australia if Ireland qualify, but that's a problem for later, maybe. Now, of course, we mentioned this earlier, but I just had to do this in the pod notes. Hopefully, a one-off pod segment called Should Have Listened to Tory. So I am wearing my Tory Tumuth Melbourne City jersey in honour of the former Melbourne City player who, as Emma alluded to earlier, is now at Sydney FC and would have known exactly where the bus was supposed to be going, even though for their game against Melbourne City, although, as we said, it did not. Shout out also to Sydney's other former Melbourne City player, Darcy Malone. So some funny tweets. Oh, by the way, I need help with a pop culture reference. That Sydney, the one for the tweet from Naomi, what film is that from? I'm too
Hannah
old.
Montana
Sorry. Yeah. It's literally the Hannah Montana movie.
I'm in my 40s, Emma.
And
Montana.
Grow up.
When did that become part of the union? Hannah who?
What?
Was she named after an Indian reservation?
It could have been Alexis, Texas, but
that's
no, it
true.
Was Hannah Montana. Mm. Yeah, no, that's a cut from the Hannah Montana movie. Yeah.
Very good, very good areas. And Bubs, as you say, replying, and then the photos,
actually replying, which is funny. Yeah,
the photos are very funny. The photo is literally a cow paddock.
It is. Now, I mean, the university still has it, so it'll be used for something, just not
eventually. Yeah.
I mean, it could be used for agriculture at this point. Kind of looking at those
literally,
photos,
someone
putting body
someone
on
gets
it.
Some cows.
Yeah, just to build a shed because apparently one of the reasons they don't use it now is they found asbestos. I'm like, well, that's
well,
just great.
I mean, that's fine. Just have the cows eat the asbestos.
What? Don't ever run a farm.
I'm doing my
Dale.
Best. No, that's very much not my calling, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I just like that. Like Bob's engaging with Naomi's tweet. That was she didn't have to do that, but now we're all a little bit smarter because Bob's is like doing everything still. And also, just briefly, after actually. Emma pointed out this schoolboy error for me. I've 1 week without a APL media error. It's all I asked for. will never happen. Couldn't spell Caitlin Torpy's name correctly. It's got a Y in it near the end, not a second I. Thanks. Also, just briefly, a couple of sensible posts. Genevieve Henry, also on Impetus, like the first of her series of the dubs difference makers. Kirsty Fenton, she just a brief explanation of why she's what makes her so good and why she's been so excellent ever since she got to Sydney FC. And she was good at the Jets as well. And also, I think, also in the sensible post section, this is an issue that really annoys me. From Chloe, I believe an English football fan, when are we as a society going to move past seeing swearing at women's football matches as vulgar? You can discuss fan behavior without being condescending. In a crowd of 3,000, there are people who, believe it or not, are there for reasons beyond it being a family day out. Yes, hear, hear. And final one. And also, yeah, I like this tweet from Aaron responding to our friends at the Far Post Pod who are asking questions. What can the Knicks do to hold off an informed Western United with 5 players away on national duty? Show up in the wrong kit and hope it gets delayed until the Ferns come back. That's brilliant. Solutions-oriented thinking. And of course, if you are not an A-League men's fan, well, you missed out on a lot of chaos this week. Obviously, Western United's turning up with their normal home kit, assuming that Wellington will wear their yellow home kits, except that Wellington have been wearing their black kit a lot this season, leading to a kit clash, leading to a Wellington kit man needed to make the mad dash from the ground up to Upper Hutt to get the yellow jerseys. Apparently, he was in NZCIS for only 60 seconds, which is
I'd say he would have called ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they didn't have the kit for one of their players, so that guy would needed to wear number 49. And Philip Roller had a field day on Twitter with his jokes. Yeah, it's like the day that he's been waiting for.
He was killing it. It was great.
Yeah. What's next? International football. So we've done they did the Champions League draw for the quarterfinals, and I think I shared this to you, Dale, earlier, and it is spicy.
Some good ones here. We could see there's definitely an opportunity for an upset, put it that way. So Bran versus Barcelona, Benfica versus Lyon, the second teams are hosting the second match. Ajax versus Chelsea and Ivy Luik and BK Hecken versus PSG and Claire Hunt. Yes. That is one that I would definitely not be surprised if PSG got bundled out. Which would be an incredible result for Hecken, and a real like putting Nordic football back on the map. I can't see Brand beating Barcelona, but like been a while.
Larissa Krummer has a plan for me. Has a plan for me.
Yeah, I cannot share my plans.
No, she can't either.
This is going to be these are all going to be banging games, to be honest. They're a fair way off now. They're about a month off, 19th and 20th and 27th and 28th of March. I believe that these are all going to be available. Weren't we saying a couple of weeks ago these are all going to be available on DAZN's YouTube channel now because they've un-geoblocked the YouTube stuff?
Yep.
So that's cool.
I know we talked about the un-geo-locking, whatever, but honestly, in my opinion, it made a lot of sense considering Arsenal got sent home very, very early.
Yeah.
So none of Arsenal's a huge fan base. No one's going to be buying it if they're not going to see Arsenal there.
And I feel like that with DAZN had the rights for the NFL here this season. So your American sport loving friend might have a login for you now that the superb owl has landed today. so there might be an opportunity if they do go back to geo blocking on it next season, that you'll be able to watch it with borrowing something off an NFL fan.
Yeah. More solutions oriented mindset.
That's what we're here for, Matt. That's what we're all about.
Also, just a warning to PSG, Hecken, as I've said previously, have no time for your XG. So you've actually got to put the ball into there, just not create chances. Hecken are doing weird things this season, at least from a statistical perspective. What else? There was Conti Cup quarterfinals, Villa, Chelsea, and Man City through, and London City Lionesses versus Arsenal. A waterlogged pitch that's been postponed, and it will be played on Valentine's Day, which is absolutely hilarious. And as last week, I will not explain why I find it funny.
It's an interesting one.
It is.
That the pitch just so happened to be waterlogged.
And I can't believe
the
somebody
London
went
City
out there
Lionesses
with
just like happened
the fire
to
hose.
fire. They just happened to fire their coach whilst
Oh,
the
yes.
game should have been played. Like, it's
Yes.
just, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
and
From
the all-seeing eye says many things.
Literally.
And there are rumors of a woman with a thick Glaswegian accent just like being carrying a hose somewhere from
Yeah, I was going to
Dartford.
say,
But
and
I'm fine with this.
fire extinguisher just stopping the under pitch heating from working.
Yeah, and then I think, I mean, the English schedule's tight. I find it a bit odd that you had Conti Cup quarterfinals midweek and then the fifth round of the FA Cup like 3 or 4 days later. But, yeah, I think, but we'll start with you, Dale, because we love it when you're happy and
all we do
your
is win.
beloved Everton scoring
My,
7 goals.
Yeah, all we do is win. Well, Everton only scored 6 of them because one of them was an own goal. But it's important to look past the details in a performance like this. Yeah, Forest getting donked, unfortunately. Nottingham Forest 7-1 by Everton in the fifth round of the FA Cup. Good performance. Happy to see. And I think the other thing that made me happy about this wasn't necessarily that we won by 6 goals, was that we started scoring early and we finished scoring late. It was a full, like a quality performance all the way through, which I think is really important. As I mentioned earlier, that hopefully we can take this kind of form and, you know, move it on to the next couple of weeks. There are a few other results. I can run through those if we'd like.
Yeah, sure.
We had Leicester beating Birmingham, who are only in the second tier. They're in, yeah, I believe they're only in the second
top
tier.
Top five, yeah. Birmingham.
So, like, and Birmingham, I believe, have won the FA Cup and WSL within the last 10 years. So, seeing them get beaten 6-2 by Leicester at the King Power was a bit of a shock. Tottenham 1, Charlton 0. Wolves got beaten by Wolves, who play in, I believe, the third tier in the Midlands Conference. Got beat 4-1 by Brighton. London City got beat 2-0 by Liverpool. Chelsea 1-0 winners over Crystal Palace. Man United 3-1 winners over Southampton. And
Emma, yes.
Emma.
Aye.
Do we want to talk about this?
No.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
No. Yes.
Arsenal 0, Manchester City 1 at
I watched the game. Well, no, I watched 3/4 of the game and then Manchester City scored. And then I was like, I have work at 8:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I have to shower and wash my hair.
Yeah.
No more. Oh, these people, they test me. They really do.
Yeah, I only watched highlights of this one, and I'll be honest, the goal scorer for, almost said Melbourne City there, but the goal scorer for Manchester City, Leila Alexandri, was not in my wheelhouse of players who I have memory of playing a lot of football. I understand that she... She wasn't in the Spanish World Cup, same. Obviously not on my radar over the last couple of months. But yeah, she was in the group of 15 players that didn't play under Jorge Vilda. So, tough scenes. Couldn't be me.
No good. Just rubbish. Where is Chloe Lacasse? It's all I have to say. Where is she?
That's a good question.
She's rotting on the bench, is where she is. Let Caitlin Ford rest. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. I agree. This now reminds me, I mean, although my decision to follow players instead of teams is incredibly cowardly, at least I'm happier at times like this. I may fully update the Aussies Abroad section of the pod notes before publishing. I may not. Oh well, you'll have to wait. You'll have to wait and see. Also, no match today, but I did, as we did discuss last week, round one of NPL Queensland on the weekend. Admittedly, I don't know. I've got the results in the show notes. I don't know much about NPL Queensland, although I do know Lions FC losing is very rare, and they lost first up to Brisbane City 3-2. So yeah, could be a sign of possibly a more even table this season up in Queensland. Also, four away wins and 1-0 all draw. So no such thing as home field advantage in Queensland this week. Now, I think that means all we've got left is Queens, Kings, and Emperors of the Week. So, Dale, you can go first.
My joker of the week is Sydney FC's bus driver. took the team to the wrong venue, which was, as we discovered prior to recording, an hour away by road from where the game was actually being played, but also was told on a number of occasions that they were being taken to the wrong area and just didn't listen. So I'm not saying that the club was at fault. I think that their wires must have got crossed, because obviously they got the stubborn bus driver. But to you, sir, hold this L, my brother.
I hope Tori Toomuth screamed at the bus driver. She
I wouldn't want to.
I hope she absolutely blasted him.
I couldn't imagine, like, when they getting to Bundoora and then everyone getting or standing in the bus, looking out the window. Did they all just sit in silence on that hour drive back? Was the bus driver just ashamed of himself, just sitting there quiet, and everyone else was just sitting there quiet, fuming?
I feel like that
would be a fly on the wall in that bus. That would have been
a very early Sky bus. When you get in at 7 o'clock, you're in one of the first flights, and then you nobody has the physical or mental capabilities of understanding where they're going as you drive under the big rainbow thing as you're heading towards Southern Cross Station. And you're just okay, we'll be there soon. Yeah. Anyway.
Emma, your selection is from the same game?
It is.
More positive, though.
Yeah, who'd have thought? It's Bubs, Melissa Barbieri. Props to her for playing only her second game of the season because City have sold their starting keeper, Lizzie Ann Broom, to Bay FC. Her second game of the season, saves a penalty, basically keeps City in the game the whole game. Unreal. Also, she is almost 44 years old. Which is
is 44. I think she's a January baby, so I think she's already turned 44.
No, I feel like I was researching this that she's still just 43, unless it hasn't been updated.
She is also 8 years older than her coach.
Oh no, I'm sorry, Bubs. Not yet. It's soon. Yeah. Her 44th birthday is soon, but not yet. So she, sorry.
How dope! What an absolute queen.
Yes. Just and she's got the info on what happens in a Sydney FC team bus, saving penalties, coaching.
There is
doing
nothing she can't do.
Yeah, who she play for in during the Victorian winter season? Was there Southern United or some? But yeah,
no, she doesn't play during the the off season because she does commentating.
Because
she can literally do it all. It's so weird. I'm in a Facebook group with her as well because I've also done commentary. So I'm like, hey, this is Bubs.
Yes.
What are you doing here? Legend. Icon. Incredible. Queen.
So I assume the people who decide Paramount callers, they're just waiting for the day when she retires so they can actually bring her into the team. But she's just I've still got it. Well, actually, as I put in the pod notes, still got it, never lost it, mate. And although we do have to wind this up, although we could praise Bubs for another 3 hours. But yeah, Mike, I got a couple of selections. Firstly, back to the aforementioned FA Cup tie. Leicester City's Shannon O'Brien scored twice in the win over Birmingham. She's had a rough run with injuries over the last couple of years. But the player with one of my favorite silly nicknames in WOSO, the Coventry Pateus, has put in a stunning performance for Leicester City. And I really think she defends well She defends ferociously as well, so hopefully the injury problems are behind her, because she could really go far in the WSL. And also, one to friend of Beyond 90, shout out to Alex Gummer, who unfortunately has had to announce her retirement. She's posted on her Instagram in the past about having issues with post-concussion syndrome and stuff like that. And yeah, you only get one of those. You only get one brain, so you got to look after it. So she's hanging up the boots, and she does... she's moved to Switzerland, I think, to do something in the field of science and a field of work I probably am not smart enough to understand.
Yeah, she works for Janssen Pharmaceuticals, if I recall correctly, one of the team, one of the companies that came out with one of the first COVID vaccines.
Ah, yes. Jeez. Well, yeah.
Okay.
It's just her and BD Goad and Amy Sayre and all these incredible footballers that also have day jobs that just make us go, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well. Best of luck to you, Alex. So I think that's time to wrap up this podcast. Yeah, I may have a bit of editing to do, so I've got some audio to look through. But on behalf of Emma Burke and Dale Roots, this is Eric Subihano signing off for episode 186 of the Beyond 90 Pod. Thanks for your support. Wishing you plenty of good vibes, great coffee, sick tattoos, razzlers, and fun country sporting experiences. See you next week.